Let's pray. God, we look to you. We won't be overwhelmed. Give us vision to see things like you do. God, we look to you. You're where our help comes from. Give us wisdom. You know just what to do. In your son's name we pray. Amen. Amen. So please turn with me, that is your eyes, to Proverbs 4, 1 through 9. The series that we're starting early is the wisdom series, which we had been planning for the last couple months. And I can't think of a better series and a better theme for our church that we need wisdom, do we not? I need wisdom. You need wisdom. Echo, we need wisdom. Proverbs 4, 1 through 9 reads, "Listen, children, to a father's instruction, and be attentive that you may gain insight. For I give you good precepts. Do not forsake my teaching. When I was a son with my father, tender and my mother's favorite, he taught me and said, 'Let your heart hold fast my words. Keep my commandments and live.' Get wisdom. Get insight. Do not forget nor turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her, and she will keep you. Love her, and she will guard you." The beginning of wisdom is this: get wisdom. And whatever else you get insight. Prize her highly, and she will exalt you. She will honor you if you embrace her. She will place on your head a fair garland, and she will bestow on you a beautiful crown. Church, this is the word of the Lord. So parenting teenagers is pretty hard. This is like a relatively new life stage. It's been 2 years. And there's a lot of moving parts going on in a person, a teenager, right? Moving and changing. And I remember, you were a teenager once. It's hard to totally remember. You have a better view of yourself then than maybe like in retrospect. But there's a lot going on behind the surface, literally within them and their bodies. Their brains are doing a lot. They're like taking in and digesting information they get from school, from home, from church, from the environment, through stimuli, through social media, through all kinds of experiences. It's really astounding when you think about the things their brains and their bodies go through. So my husband, Ricky, and I, as we raise our three kids, we find ourselves very prayerful. Like before, we'd pray like, "Give me strength, right, to make it through the day." Because when you have little kids, the days feel so long. But when you have big kids and you know, like I have 2 years left before it might leave home and never come back, maybe. The days feel so short. I become so acutely aware of what he doesn't know. I'm like, "Oh my God, he doesn't know that. Note to self." So I have like these lists of things I want to teach him. Things like how to make a basic meal, how to cut fruit like mangoes and watermelons without slicing off your fingers, right? What to do when you get in an accident. Have you thought about how you handle all that when you're shaking and kind of scared, right? How to budget your money, how to resist texting and driving, probably one of the hardest things. How to talk to people kindly, even when they're jerks, without being a jerk. I mean, that's a big one, right? So I find myself waking up in the morning and immediately rolling to my knees and saying, "God, help me. God, help us. We don't know what we're doing. Give us wisdom. Give us wisdom." Now, I can't say the same for our kids, and this is probably true for all teenage kids. They don't necessarily want wisdom the way we pray for them to gain wisdom. You can relate, yeah? Right? I'm not sure if they're like praying to God, "Give me wisdom." That would be so amazing. They would be such a wise child. But they want independence and they're curious. So they're interested in interesting things. They want to learn new things, have cool experiences. But they don't necessarily ask for wisdom. The teacher of Proverbs 4, he gets this. He knows this. And that's why he begins this passage saying, "Listen, children, to your father's instruction," patriarchal society, you know, you understand. "And be attentive that you may gain insight." Now, You might know what a proverb is, like in a basic form. Proverb is like a short, pithy saying, a poetic saying that summarizes a truth about life. And we find proverbs actually throughout Scripture. You even find them in the New Testament, like in Luke 4:23. But the book of Proverbs is like the motherlode, the gold mine. This is the main source of a collection of proverbs that teaches those who fear the Lord to know what is wise and how to do what is right. So we're going to study this book throughout the month of June. Proverbs addresses students or learners of different ages and stages of life. So it speaks to us, different ages and stages of life and maturity such as the naive, young people, lifelong learners, and those new on the journey to becoming wise. The first 9 chapters, in fact, are originally addressed to young people, particularly young men. All right? So it's in order to teach them wisdom and about women. So that's why if you read it, which I hope you do, you'll notice that there's a lot of talk about don't be senseless and stupid about life and when it comes to sexual temptation. That's also why you see a lot of references to sons or children and to their parents and to 2 kinds of women, the wrong kind and the good kind. Right? Yet this text also speaks to new generations and context, to all who seek knowledge, wisdom, and understanding. That it means it can speak to you and me, to all who seek God and God's ways in not just a few spheres of life, but every sphere of life. So what's so cool, what's so relatable about and down to earth about the book of Proverbs is that its focus is on everyday matters. It's really matter of fact. How life works, how we're to live in the world, and yet also how life is mysterious. Proverbs assumes that we can learn from the experiences and reflections of wise people in the present and in the past. Wisdom isn't just for those big, hairy decisions, but for the everyday, mundane, nuanced decisions that we have to make all the time. Don't you have to make a lot of decisions? And aren't there not rule books for most of them? Proverbs understands that and gives you a guide in the journey of discernment. You see, wisdom isn't hard to get. It's not hard to acquire, but it must be pursued and practiced with discipline, desire, and determination. So you guys ready? A little ready? All right. So what is wisdom? You asked what or who comes to mind when you think of wisdom? What is it? To be honest, I spent all week trying to define wisdom. And I thought, well, I can't give the summative definition of wisdom that, you know, will agree with. But when I was reading through Proverbs, I think it's fair to say that on the whole, wisdom can be understood as knowing and practicing truth about life and the ability to navigate between relationships, between human relationships, and the realities in ways that reverence and honor God. I'll read it again. You can see it too. Okay? Wisdom is knowing and practicing truth about life and the ability to navigate human relationships and realities in ways that reverence and honor God. So let's break that down a little bit and let me flesh that out a little more. Wisdom is putting what you know about God into practice. The word know in Hebrew implies not just head knowledge, but practice. You know, you practice what you do. You actually show what you know. You're not just sitting there being theological. You act theologically. Ethics and knowledge went hand in hand. So this kind of, this bifurcated view of knowledge is just having head knowledge about God, but living however the heck you want, knowing that, but not being transformed by that, is really preposterous to the ancients, especially to the author of Proverbs in this passage. The first step to knowing God, the very first way you can know God, is not by necessarily opening up a book or going to seminary, though seminary is a good place to go, you know. All right? Or that's like that. The first step to knowing God is fearing God. Come on. Proverbs 1:7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. I hope you've heard this before, but if not, this is a keeper. This verse serves as a central tenet, the principle of the book. The first step towards gaining knowledge is to have reverent awe for God. Not fear in the, oh my God, I'm so scared, though there is that fear and trembling. But knowing that God in his wisdom created the heavens and the earth, knowing that in God we live and move and have our being, knowing that there is no before or after God, he is the beginning and the end, the ground and the hope, the goal of wisdom. Knowing that you have awe for God and reverence for God. And if you want to know God, you have to fear God. Fools have no fear for God. That's why they're fools. So conversely, if you want to be stupid, like a sure way to be stupid, is to despise wisdom and discipline. I guarantee you will be stupid. So you need not just to have head knowledge about who God is, but to know and show it in your actions. As my colleague John Goldenglake explains, to know God is to acknowledge God by one's behaviors and submit to and obey what one knows. It's to acknowledge God by one's behaviors. How do you know that God exists? Show me by your actions. And then submitting to and obeying what one knows. This, my friends, is the beginning of wisdom. Wisdom is to know something about the realities of life and the world and God who created the world by wisdom and responding according to that knowledge. How many of us have so much knowledge, but our bodies, our spirits, our actions are so divorced from that? It's called hypocrisy. It's really odd if you think about it. So the first thing, like I said, wisdom is putting what you know about God into practice. Wisdom is also disciplined. Disciplined. As we just saw in our passage today, wisdom is something you listen for, right? You are attentive to it. You cling to it for dear life. Wisdom is something you get. You even love. And you treasure. Does that describe how you feel about wisdom? Wisdom's like a muscle, all right? I'm showing you this muscle in theory that must be practiced and worked out. It takes discipline to allow what you know about God and what God desires to actually impact your action. It doesn't just happen. In fact, you have to work to make that connection because we're dodo heads by nature. And we want to just be like, oh, no, and hence I don't have to act. Going back to my son, because Proverbs is speaking to children, young children. He works out almost every day. He worked out right before we left for church today. He worked out last night, right? I mean, he works out so much, I'm telling him, like, wow, that's a lot of working out, right? And I'm thinking the reason he's doing it is because he wants to get bigger and stronger so that he can get better at the game he loves. So he has a goal for it. But it astonishes me how willingly he imposes discipline on himself. It's weird, actually, because it kind of hurts, it looks. He's like grunting and groaning, right? How is he's willing to bear more weight, literally and incrementally, even if it burns and hurts. And it's also strange and interesting to see how much stronger he's gotten. Where he could do like 10 push-ups, I don't want to embarrass him, but when he was like in eighth grade, and now, I mean, he just goes on and on. It's strange. But he got stronger because he submitted himself to the yoke of the weights, to the discipline of working out, and that literally has reshaped his flesh and his mind. I should try it sometime. You see, the work or the wise, the wise work on wisdom. That's why wisdom is disciplined. The wise seek wise counsel. A lot of us seek counsel, but bad counsel, people. You get low-hanging fruit. The person who's willing to yammer away and comfort you emotionally, but offer you nothing of value, nothing you don't know. And yet the person you know that you know you need to know something from, you shun because you're stupid. Be honest. You know, but you don't want to take the truth. You don't want to receive it, cherish it, cling to it, thank God for it, love it. Because we're foolish. Because we don't fear God. We don't love knowledge and long for wisdom. The wise, they pray because they know God is the beginning and the end, the one in whom we live and breathe and have our being and move. They know, so you pray. You pray not because you just your teachers tell you pray. I mean, that's part of it. But you pray because you're aware that you don't know a lot of stuff and that you need the help and the mercy and the knowledge and the grace of God in your life. The wise read and study and try to do so with others, not in isolation. They reflect. Have you thought of that? Maybe I should think about my actions today. Maybe I should reconsider how I approached my child that day, seeing that they responded poorly to my approach. I'm not speaking autobiographically. Or at work or elsewhere, right? We just kind of keep doing the same thing over and over, the same bad decision, because we're not willing to reflect, to do the work of seeking wisdom. The wise are, their mind is open to change. They're willing to consider your input and go backwards and think, maybe this is a way I can be more faithful and honorable, more integrous, more loving. And you know what the wise do, and this is really hard, you have to hold on sometimes when you don't know and you want to be anxious and just like throw it onto somebody. Oh, I don't know what to do with this. I'm just going to throw it out there, blah, right? I'm just anxious. Get it out of myself. No, they know how to hold something with fear and reverence before God until clarity is gained. Because God wants to bring clarity to your life. Did you know that? And so the wise know how to hold and wait for that time, for that clarity, for that guidance. It's incremental. Wisdom is incremental. It's a practice. It's a lifestyle. But it forms us into a more holy and human shape. Don't you want to be formed by wisdom to be more holy and human in your shape? Another thing about wisdom. Wisdom is available in abundance to those who seek it. You know, when people ask for prayer, I pray for them. But I don't always know if God's going to answer that particular prayer request. But you should ask. Ask, seek, knock. Come to the throne of grace with confidence. But one thing I am so confident God will answer is the prayer for wisdom. Did you know? God loves to give out, to dole out. He's not stingy with wisdom. He is like, you ask for wisdom? Yes! I'm going to give you an extra measure, in fact. And get your brother and sister and friends to ask me too. Proverbs presents and personifies wisdom as a female figure, divine wisdom. And she is not passive or silent. No, she is not. She makes herself known. She is outspoken. Proverbs 1:20 reads, wisdom cries out on the street, in the square, she raises her voice. I love that. Wisdom is not a tease. She is not hard to get. She wants to be heard. She wants to be known. She wants to be loved and embraced. She wants to be taken seriously. Do you take her seriously? Wisdom is crying out for those who listen, who are attentive to it, to her. The book of James reiterates this point. saying, if any of you is lacking in wisdom, raise your hand, anyone? Ask God. And who gives to all, to who? To some? No, to all, generously and ungrudgingly, and it will be given to you. James 1:5. Go back and check it. I'm telling you, that is awesome. Ungrudgingly, generously, God is wanting to give all who ask for wisdom, who have the humility and the knowledge to know they need it. He wants to give it to you in abundance, in full measure. Do you want it? And once you have wisdom, what do you do with it? Wisdom is not to be neglected or taken for granted. You must prize and respect the woman. You must prize and respect wisdom. Listen to her and seek her voice and learn to hear it among the din and the ruckus and the clutter of sounds that are going all around you. So why do we need wisdom? Just yesterday, I was driving with my aforementioned dear son to his new unpaid job, which is a fancy way of saying to the place where he volunteers. Actually, one of you saw him there. And it was the kind of the Orange Crush. So it's a really, there's a 55, 57, 22, 5 there. It's kind of tricky. And as a mother, I was a little nervous, right? And so I said I would just accompany him in silence. You drive as you do your thing. I won't say a word unless our lives are in danger, imminent danger, potential hazards, that thing. So it lasted about 2 minutes, maybe. Verify, I'm like, easy there, Turbo, okay? Like, the speed limit's 35. You slow down at the curve, right? Wait, why are you speeding up? The guy in front of you is braking. I don't know. We got gas. And I was trying to, shut my trap. And, he was about to pump it with the engine on. I was like, we're gonna blow up, yo. I had to speak up. And he was joking. I think he was serious, but he was joking. He goes, don't worry, I'm pro-driver, cuh. To which I said, nah, bro, you ain't pro-driver, cuh. You amateur driver, and don't call me cuh. If you don't know what I'm saying, it's teenage speak. It's a new language. But this is a lecture I wanted to say in my head. I really try to practice self-control because I promise I wouldn't say all this. But this is what I would have said when he said, don't worry, I'm a pro driver, co. I wanted to say, as a newbie driver, this is not the time to overestimate your skills and underestimate the dangers of the road and the people on it. This is the time. Now is the time to learn a thing or two from a driver who has had a fender bender, an accident or two in their life. To learn from instructors, drivers, anyone who's driven more than you, which is most people. Now is the time to get it. To get it. Now, it goes both ways. A wise person and a wise parent is careful in the way they convey and dispense wisdom, right? Not by shoving it down one's throat or nagging or yelling. That's true. So wise people, wise parents, think about the method of delivery. On the other hand, a wise person and a wise kid will get wisdom no matter what form it takes because you're desperate for it. You know, it's like when I drop fries in the sand, and I was hungry, so I'm like wiping off the sand from the fries because I'm desperate to eat it. It's really sad, right? But you know what I mean? Like, we're so picky about the form. Oh, she said it kind of snarkily to me. That's maybe true, but a wise person, a person who knows their lack, who knows their need, is going to say, I hear the truth in what you're saying. I don't like the method, but I can receive the truth. I will handle the truth. I'll own it and love it, even if it hurts my flesh and reshapes me into more holy and human shape. So I said, I didn't give him that lecture. I said, get it, cuh, get wisdom. Listen to me a little bit, okay? I'll give you some advice while I can so that you can drive better. And he'll be great, and he'll be better than me like in 2 months. All right? For all of us, no matter our age or stage in life, we need wisdom. We need to be more desperate for it, to seek it, pursue it, acquire and treasure it like our life depends on it, because our lives depend on it, just like my wisdom to help my son drive better makes his life depends on it. Do you understand that it's not just like a, oh, little option that you sprinkle into your decisions in life? No, you cannot have a thriving life without wisdom. You can't. If you want to have a life that honors God, which is a thriving life, not a perfect life, but when you have integrity and you can live out in the open without an alibi, when you can sleep at night knowing that you've lived a faithful day, there's something rich about that. Right? When you know, if you know that you need wisdom, right, you seek it. And if you want to find a path or clearing in elusive, dark, thorny, messy places, you need wisdom. And some of you are in messy, dark, thorny places, are you not? And you can't get out. And you're like that animal who just keeps trying to scrape their way out, getting cut up and torn up, not asking God for help. If you want to be able to make good, life-giving decisions where there's no rule book or easy answers to be found, you need wisdom. When you don't know what to do, you need wisdom. When you don't know what to do, but you think, but you've tried other things and you've gotten yourself in a mess, you need wisdom. When you've lost your way and are spinning your wheels and coming against the same bumps and blocks on the road, you need wisdom. And if you want to obey God, you need wisdom from God. So, in closing, a lot of you, some of you, I'm not sure, are pretty smart. You're educated. You know a lot. You may be well-read, blogs, podcasts, books, but dare I ask, maybe, right? You can be so witty and clever, say the right thing, be cool with what you know, and be foolish. Did you know that? You can be book smart, have titles and accolades, be considered competent in your sphere of influence, but not be wise. And likewise, you may not have a college degree. You may not have a degree after your name. You may not be considered the sharpest tool in the shed. But you can be a wise person, a one who fears the Lord and seeks insight and wisdom. Wisdom is not the same as earthly knowledge. Wisdom loves knowledge, but not the kind of knowledge that's separated from how you live, from your ethics, from right action. Because wisdom, it enables you to know how to do the right thing when there's no manual. When there's no manual, and believe me, there's no manual for a lot of the things that we need to make decisions about. Wisdom is clear-headed, clear-eyed, not dodgy, not shady. It's not confused or anxious or drowned out by the talking heads. It's not afraid of the light nor of the dark. And the thing is that God loves to give it. So let's get it. So the premise of this series that we're embarking on is that God longs to give wisdom to all who ask. And we are invited as a people of God to enter in a journey toward walking in wisdom. And we can start it right now at this very moment together. Through this series, we pray that we become people who seek and practice God's wisdom in our everyday lives. That's why we get it. So I want to give some practical ways that we can get it. The first is this. Start with God. Ask. The first thing you got to do is go to the one who is wisdom. God is wisdom. Ask God, literally, God, I need it. I need more wisdom. Another way that we can enter this season is to grow in wisdom. So we ask for wisdom, and then we're going to grow in wisdom through study. Study is part of the ongoing work of growing and living in wisdom. Begin by reading Proverbs. There's 31 chapters, we're a little bit ahead in the month. So begin. I've been reading it with my kids, right? It's been really fun and kind of interesting, right? And humbling too. I would encourage you to read with us. But also, actually, there's this book right here, Create in Me a Heart of Wisdom, which we have copies of outside that you guys can pick up. Grace Picho, one of the members of our church, she helped co-author this book, right? And it's not just for women, it's for men and women, but it's a great resource. It's not going to solve all your immediate problems, like, should I take this job, should I not? But it's going to enter you into a process of seeking after God, steeping in God's word, being reflective, answering questions, and getting discernment that helps you live and walk in wisdom. So I highly recommend it, okay? Usually sold for $15, we sell it for $10, and it's for Grace and her group. But it's really going to be wonderful for us. And lastly, access God's wisdom. Follow. So I talked about getting it, as if wisdom is something you acquire. And yes, it is. Wisdom is something you get. But it's not just something we possess or get. It is a person we follow. Church, wisdom, the fullness of God's wisdom is embodied and revealed in our Lord Jesus Christ. Did you know that? The flesh and blood Lord Jesus Christ is a full embodiment of God's remarkable wisdom for the world, for you and me, for people of Israel and all who follow. When we are his disciples, when we submit ourselves to his discipline, because disciples, you know, they submit themselves to the discipline of their teacher. When we do it with Jesus, his yoke is easy and light. Matthew 11:28-30. But this is not because obeying and following Jesus is easy. It's because by obeying and following Jesus, we experience the fullness of life in the fullest of ways. You cannot experience the fullness of life without following Jesus, and Jesus is the fullest expression of God's wisdom. Are you following me? So we want to get it, and we get it by following Jesus, his words, his way. Get there, go there with him. Jesus is the one inviting us to follow in his path of wisdom. Amen. So this is Abide Sunday, music cue, right? And Pastor Joanne and the intercessor is going to lead us in a time of prayer. But before she comes up, and before you head out those doors and go to your respective places and hang out with people and get the book and stuff like that, why don't you spend a moment to ask God for wisdom? Doesn't have to be fancy, doesn't have to be long. But it's got to be desperate, like your life depends on it. And if there's a sphere of your life, an area you just are so, you don't want to give before God, you don't want to present and ask God for help, I encourage you to do so. To release that fear and that grip, to ask God for wisdom, to shed light, to guide, to move you, to direct your steps, your heart and your mind. The intercessor is going to come up, and I'm just going to close with a benediction. And then you're free to stay. I really encourage you to come up and receive prayer and take your time. If you want to stay in the pews and chill and be talk to people or pray together, I encourage you to do that. If you're ready to go, go in peace. But let's go together. Church, I bless you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Go in peace. Go in wisdom. Go and get it. Get it like your life depends on it, because it does. Amen.